with great happiness. Vrinda Devi, the Van Devi, is sending all her servants forward. The parrots come and greet Lord Krishna, and it's a beautiful festival which is described, where the forest also is told. Hare Krishna, very good. Yeah. They sing Radhe Radhe Syam Milade. Radhe meets Krishna, meets Syam. They have given us the next key for our meditation. See, in Vrindavan, things don't happen by chance. As Krishna goes into the forest, he really is very eager to meet Srimati Radharani. The boys have said the truth. and he sends his messengers to Yavat with some new information where he will meet Srimati Radharani. And Radharani greets these messengers. There is a time later in the time period where Krishna is just so sits on a stone in the forest and cries, and his friend Subal comes and asks, what is Gopal, why do you cry? And Krishna turns away from Subal and says nothing. Then Subal again turns to him and sees how a hot tear runs down the chest of his dear friend Gopal and asks again, there's something which inflicts your heart. And again Krishna says, nothing, nothing. Then Subal says, tell me, maybe I can help you. And Krishna stutters and brings only forth one word, Radhe, Radhe, Syam Milade. May I meet Radharani. Yes. So then Subal says, but this is the noontime. How will you meet Radharani? She is anxiously guarded by her stepmother, Yatila. Lord Krishna, it's not the time to tell this Leela, and therefore I will stop here. It's a very, very moving Leela. Now, these pastimes are told in key verses in the Bhajan Rahasya as meditation guides for the eager devotee who wants to know what is Krishna doing at this time. See, if you want to absorb your consciousness in someone, you feel, what is he doing at this time? If I have a friend, I will ask the question, what is he doing now? Maybe our human is very much connected with his daughter Satya, and I can imagine, you know what Satya is doing now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. About either playing around, maybe sleeping. No sleeping, that's for sure. So in the same way, for absorption in Krishna and absorption in his holy name, we need to know, what is Krishna doing now? You know, it cannot be theoretical. And so now, in order to become qualified to think of Krishna like this, the devotee has to seriously desire to attain a certain stage of Krishna consciousness, which is called nishtha, or steadiness in devotional service, where he won't be so disturbed. And you know, there is only one way in which a devotee can achieve the platform of nishtha. He has to qualify himself according to the third verse of Shikshastakam. So into this time period which we have now, which we are talking about, we are led into this time period through the third verse of the Shikshastakam, which is the Trinat Api Sunichina Sloka. Because if we realize this verse, we will for sure become qualified to chant and absorb ourselves. Repeat with me, say with me please. Trinadapi sinichena taroiva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. You all know this verse by now because you have spent some years in Krishna consciousness, and I will now give, tell you an English song in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes it in Bengali, tells us what this verse really means. To become humble as a straw in the street and so on. Please listen now very carefully. This verse will give you, if you practice this verse, it will give you the qualification to chant the holy name and absorb yourself in the holy name. If you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories, who desires this? Really? If you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories, once again, if you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories, then do everything you can to gain the qualifications necessary to do so. First, give up your false ego and think of yourself as very lowly and wretched, more insignificant than grass. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a little later meditation so that we can jump off from the throne of false ego and fall into the ground of reality with our head. He will, for instance, say that we have every reason to become humble, and if, as we read these lightning bolts of verses, we are also, yes, I'm beginning to feel some humility. Thank you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Practice the virtue of tolerance by emulating the trees. Burijan Prabhu, please tell us, what does the word emulating mean? Following the example, so we should follow the example of the trees. What is the example of the trees? Well, give up revenge and look after other creatures. These two examples, like when someone urinates on a western tree, the tree will not take its branch and go wacko. It has no revengeful spirit and will give continue to. So when a devotee is so to say offended, he will not think of revenge. On the other side, the virtue of the true tree is that he looks after other creatures. In the West, shade is not so often the problem, but shelter from rain. When you are a nature lover, you often take the shelter of trees, at least in Germany. Do not give distress to any other being in order to maintain your body. Forget your own selfish concerns by serving others. Give up selfishness by serving others. Even if you possess all good qualities, do not try to profit from it by looking for prestige. Please, devotees, keep your heart simple. Know that all living beings carry Krishna in their heart, and so you should offer them respect in all circumstances. Cultivate the four qualities of humility, compassion, respect for others, and indifference to worldly honors. And chant the holy name. Bhaktivinoda cries out the following plea at the Lord's lotus feet. When, oh when, will you make me qualified to chant your holy name? This is a practice which we have given, to practice humility and compassion and respect for others. You have to practice it. It won't be immediately there. But by practicing it, you will come to the platform of nishtha, that is steadiness in Krishna consciousness. We are unsteady because we are not so tolerant. Something comes our way, some disappointment comes our way, and then we become more leaned and inclined towards taking shelter in the material energy. We are unsteady also because we cannot be humble. We are very proud, and a proud person is a big tree, you know, grows very, and when there's a storm of life, chump, he immediately falls. Proud people have a very nervous life because very often think when things don't go their way, zoop, they are so disturbed. Ooh, it's amazing. Now these things are to be practiced, my dear devotees. It's again, I want to say, you have to exercise these things. One of the most outstanding memories of my own childhood was when I visited with my parents a restaurant in Fehmarn, it was near the ocean. These people were, the owner was a personal friend of my father, and we would always in our little family make nature walks in our childhood. We lived on a very nice little island in the ocean, and I remember these childhood times very much. One time we went in the winter time, and it was so nice and stormy, and we could walk onto the frozen ocean, and it was very nice, but we became a little cold, so my father took us in, the little boys all together in the restaurant, and he said, "What would you like?" And I was a fan of something which in India is called limca, in Germany it's called Sinalco, some of you might remember, and it's a cold drink, it's like a lemonade time. We went in the winter time, and it was so nice and stormy, and we could walk onto the frozen ocean, and it was very nice, but we became a little cold, so my father took us in, the little boys all together in the restaurant, and he said, "What would you like?" And I was a fan of something which in India is called limca, in Germany it's called Sinalco, some of you might remember, and it's a cold drink, it's like a lemonade with fizzle water in it, and I would also drink it in the winter time because I just liked so much Sinalco. Even if my father said, "Why don't you drink a warm tea? You're freezing so much." No, I am free. You have to order anything I want. You have given this present to me. I want a Sinalco. What is Sinalco, father? And now next to our table, I saw someone who ordered a soup. And the waiter came with the soup, and this person looked quite interesting, so I looked at him drinking my childhood Sinalco, and all of a sudden this person found a hair in the soup. I never forget this. And you know, he was a German, so now you will see a German reaction. Waiter, please come. The waiter came. And he took the hair and went like and tied it around his head with the dripping soup. And then he exploded. You have given me a hair in the soup. And I felt he will take now the soup and sprinkle it on the waiter. But he didn't do it. It was just the hair, which I found was pretty offensive already. Now the waiter, listen to the reaction to the waiter. The waiter went very humbly and said, "Oh, we sincerely regret this most severe mistake. I will go into the kitchen now and request the person who the woman who cooked the soup for you to cook a new soup without a hair." And he was just so humble. And I thought, wow, I couldn't do that. I was even prepared to take my Zinalco and bang him on the head. And much later, I understood why this person was so humble. He wanted to get Sachi Devi has informed me for the right word. I will just turn to her for confirmation. A tip. Do you understand what is a tip? Maybe that's an English word. Tip means bakshis or trinkgeld. So at the end of the whole scenario, this man who was we knew him. He was having a building, a construction firm on that island. He said, I'm sorry, I may have been a little bit harsh to you. Here, please take 10 mark. And the waiter, I never forget this, he took it with such, he had calculated this very carefully. He took it with such a feeling of obviousness. You know, it was obvious that he would get it. And he put it, and he looked at me because he saw I had followed the whole exchange, and he just nodded his head. I never forget this. He was a clever waiter who had 10 marks at that time. I don't know, means something like $30 at this time. I can't say. I'm not so good in calculating money. So, my dear devotees, if you wish to have Krishna consciousness, can't you be a little humble? Huh? This is the qualification to reach your goal. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, if you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories, then do everything you can to gain the qualifications necessary to do so. Yesterday, a very nice devotee asked me a question which I usually can't answer, how to become qualified in chanting Hare Krishna and see that what we perceive in our ecstasy of chanting is not just a mental impression. And I said, I will give you a song, because that is the song really. Here you find a manual which will help you to get the tip from Krishna. A reward from Krishna. And you would say in Krishna Das Kaviraj's poesy, there is a verse where he says, let me chant and please you give me as my salary. He doesn't speak of tip, it's like a salary or reward, prema. This is how to act. And I learned this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'm the most, I'm not qualified in this way, but it's a manual which I try to follow sometimes in my good 1 minute and so on. And because Krishna gave me as a child this impression of this clever waiter who just knocked at me. See, this is how you get it, the tip. who just nodded at me. He was my shiksha guru in humility. I can never forget this. Hari Bol. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after giving this meditation, and I think you begin to understand now how the Bhajan Rahasya is a guide to higher Krishna consciousness by giving us thank you Radhe Radhe. He may also want a tip. Hare Krishna. No, he's an associate of Hare Krishna Mataji. Welcome. Thank you for honoring, for gracing our seminar with your wonderful presence. No, he is a good boy. He's one of Gomohan's friends. So, yeah. So, the next meditation which Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers us is that we must learn to take shelter. He says, except he quotes the famous verse Anukul Yasya Sankalpa, and in his own words he gives his own translation of this: accept whatever is favorable for devotion, reject everything that is inimical to devotion, and understand there is no protector other than Krishna. Bhujyam Prabhu, you have really made us enlightened. You've given us a very important meditation. Remember this meditation, which does come up again and again. Where do you turn for protection and shelter? Bhaktivinoda Thakur here says, understand there is no protector other than Krishna. O brother, Krishna will surely protect me. I offer myself and everything I possess to Krishna. I go through life with sincere humility. Now, you can actually not practice humility if you live in the identification of the body and the mind. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's third meditation is a meditation which will free us from bodily identification. I always regret that sometimes in modern ISKCON these sannyasis are reminded to not to speak about the body in any realistic words, you know, by mentioning what comes out of the holes of the bodies and so on. Now, you will see that in to prepare you for spiritual life, this indirect description of the body, that is, this concentration of its faults and mistakes. The body has been praised in our scriptures also as a very good vehicle for self-realization. It has been said by Krishna personally that he felt dissatisfied after the creation, because he had not created it, because until he created the human body, he had not created a vehicle for self-realization. And it's in the 11th canto, there is such a shloka. It's actually not Krishna, it's not Krishna who says it, but the shloka says, the Lord felt dissatisfied because in all other forms of life, that is the non-human forms of life, people are just following instincts. But in the human form of life, you can follow a spiritual knowledge and inspiration that is unique to the human form of life. But our Shastra often describes the body as a problematic place, and this is necessary in order to destroy our self-imposed identification with the body. So you will now hear one of these wake-up verses: fasten your seatbelts, Prabhus and Matas, it will be intense. It is meant to attack you at a very, very important knockover point, that is the false ego. When the false ego has been busted, then you can engage in bhajan. As long as you think, I am the body, I am very strong, I am very able and capable, and Look, when I look honestly into the mirror and see, yes, I'm already 51 years old, that's my age, but look, I am a handsome man. By all objective observation, I have to come to this conclusion. The body, and now comes the bomb, the body is inflicted by miseries at every turn. He doesn't speak of hemorrhoids here, other embarrassing details, but this is what we are is alluded to. Though it may look beautiful now, it will inevitably die and be transformed back into its five component elements. What is the cure for this, you asked? You silly, wicked fool! Drink the powerful elixir of Krishna. It alone will cure you of this disease. Now in the Sanskrit you'll find Shatasandhi. Shatasandhi means the joints which are there in the body. It has thousands of such joints between these little bones. Our Dr. Bhagavati will be able maybe to tell us how many bones are there in the human body. I heard 1,000. Is it? 282. Only. I thought there were also many small ones. It's complete? You are a nurse? A doctor? Acha, you're a doctor. 280. Well, maybe in India they have not yet found all the little. Also, im Ernst, du hast es doch gelernt. Wie ist es denn? Ungefähr. Vergessen? Ach, was? Okay. Jens is a policeman. He knows also these things. I thought there were also many small ones. It's complete? You are a nurse? A doctor? Acha, you're a doctor. 280. Well? Maybe in India they have not yet found all the little. Also, im Ernst, du hast es doch gelernt. Wie ist es denn? Ungefähr. Vergessen? Ach, was? Okay. Jens is a policeman. He knows also these things. Okay. You have won. And I have lost my point. 282. We follow our doctor. Please excuse me for my great offense. You now know why I'm so unqualified. Protect a doctor here in the Holy Dharm. These are sun, and there are joints between the body, and they can inflict misery, especially when there's rheumatism. You will see, once you turn over 50, like this joint, for instance, doesn't work any longer. In my case, it is. Yeah, when it gets cold, it's painful. But Sandhi can mean also, it means not only that there are miseries at the junctions between the bones. Sandhi refers also to the junctions of life. We find ourselves very often going through crossroads in our lives where we all of a sudden are amazed of how much misery can jump into our face. From one day to the next it can happen. And therefore the question is raised, misery will always come in your life. The body will be burned at the cremation site. The Buddhists say material life is living on hot coals. It's only a question when what you put on hot coals is burned totally away. If I put a paper on hot coal, it may be a second be able to comfortably relax on the coals, but then it's gone. The body is like a piece of paper, only that it has a different time duration in samsara. It doesn't take a second, but it takes maybe 80 years until it is incinerated and in the cremation ground. So what is the cure for this problem? Drink the powerful Amrita of Krishna. That is the inspiration. Now, it is described in this some more descriptions are there on becoming tolerant and compassionate and so on. But I will jump ahead because I just want to give you an oversight. We are requested to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually is establishing why Krishna is worthy of taking shelter. Bhujan Prabhu read a verse where Akrura prayed to Lord Krishna. Akrura desired so much that Krishna would visit him at his house. And when Krishna came to Mathura, he actually made a home program in Akrura's house. He visited with his divine splendor. And at that time, Akrura said, "Krishna, there are three reasons for me that I take shelter in you." And that was, you are, I can only remember two now at this moment. You are the grateful, affectionate, and one other quality, well-wisher of your devotees. See, when someone is grateful to, that means mindful of the other person's beneficent activities, then this is a very good basis of a relationship. You know, relationships break when there is ungratefulness, when the other person forgets what the other person is really about and what he tries to do with his actions. Sometimes I have experienced this with persons who were very dear to me, but they all of a sudden lost that vision of gratefulness and turned against me in the internet and oh Krishna. I even have now a court case against me where the others wish to put me into the jail so that I can only drink water and eat dry bread and so on. And I feel so heartbroken, not because of the water and the bread which I have to take, but because I meant so well and I gave everything, but they have forgotten that. They have they knew it and they know it. They have expressed it in many letters and words to me previously, but this is forgotten now, and only hate is in their eyes. But Krishna is not like this. Krishna is always grateful, and Rupa Goswami, for every little service which we have ever done to him. And Lord Krishna, therefore, has this quality of gratefulness. And that makes him a worthy candidate to take shelter. He is affectionate, he cares, he loves, he doesn't break his love, so on. But now Bhaktivinoda Thakur will bring some further very good qualities of Krishna. Krishna protects us Krishna is the spiritual master of the three worlds. Krishna is the sustainer of the universe. The entire creation arose from Krishna and is wound up in Him at the time of dissolution. The entire universe is situated within Krishna. We are Krishna's servants. All perfections are given by Krishna. So we offer our obeisances to Him. Please say in Sanskrit, Krishna Rakshati No Jagatraya Guru Krishna Hi Vishvam Baraha Krishna Eva Samutitam Jagatidam Krishnelayam Gatshati Krishnatishtati Vishvamita Akilam Krishnasyadasa Vayam Krishnenakila Satgatir Vitarita Krishnaya Tasmai Namaha. Oh, somewhere is an alarm clock. Sadanandi, what? Why did you put the alarm clock there? I have requested Sadanandi to remind me of something. It's 10:48. And new period starts. So the devotee, he may be following the Bhajan Rahasya, may be overwhelmed in ecstasy. He may have set his alarm clock. Now a new leela is there. And I want to just read to you so that you understand what is going on. The idea. It is shloka which Bhaktivinoda Thakur is quoting. I will read it to you in English. I would like to read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation to it, because that's very rare to hear, and you will find it difficult. I have seen one other copy of Bhajan Rahasya. We have one in ISKCON, which is the essence, which is cooked down a little to the essence. Then there is another book by another Gaudiya organization, but unfortunately it does not include the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's verses. So that you can get now the benefit, I will read this. I remember Radha and Krishna as they meet in Radha Kund, decorated by their ecstatic responses. You know, they see each other. There's a beautiful scene that Krishna comes love-smitten to the banks of Radhakund and looks for Srimati Radharani but cannot see her and cannot find her. Where is Radharani at this time? But she's on a little island in the middle of Radhakund. The island belongs to her sister Ananga Manjari and can be reached only by a crystal bridge whose bridge point starts at Janava Baitak, you know, where now Janava Baitak is, and goes in a bow to that island. And Krishna is Radharani is decorated with flower ornaments. And Krishna is there on the bank looking for Radharani. So Ananga Manjari sees that. She takes the a big mirror. She's a sister of Radharani, and gives Radharani the opportunity to look at her Sringa in the mirror, and then Ananga Manjari turns the mirror in the direction of Krishna and beams Radharani's mirror image directly into the eyes of Krishna, who sees this overwhelming beauty of the fully dressed Queen of Vrindavan, and is overwhelmed by Srimati Radharani's presence, so much so that his turban gets out of its natural situation, and he loses his celebrated flutes and loses his straightforward gait and stumbles and falls for a moment. So yeah, these are the pastimes which take place now, and thank you, Saranandi, for for the timely memory. But we will not go into this period now. We will stay in our other period where we are, just to complete it, because some important elements are still necessary for our understanding. We will now make a convenient pause of 15 minutes, and after 15 minutes, please return for some further instructions on this wonderful method of bhajan called Bhajan Rahasya. Hare Krishna. That's 10 minutes after 11, is that correct?
Yeah.